Very good stuff. What have we been talking about a lot lately? And what else? What have we been talking about? Kind of a strange subject, really, to talk. The death. We've been talking about death a lot and trying to understand it a little bit better. We don't understand death. The church world doesn't. Religious people don't really understand death. You have to be in the spirit to understand what God is doing concerning death. There are things in you that have to die. And that's very important, because if they don't die, you'll keep messing up, even in this life. If they keep a coming in your world, in your mind, you will mess up even in this world. Have you ever wondered, Rick was telling us one time, said no one's born to be a serial killer. You know what I mean? But because of what they allow to work in their life and the spirits that they allow to deal with them, the next thing you know, you hear these horrific stories, right? We all hear stories about things about certain types of people just can't seem to change. And I've met several of them, but they're basically molesters. But you have to remember, molesters started in heaven. What am I saying? Who molested the angels in heaven? Who taught them things that they shouldn't have been teaching them? You see what I mean? And took advantage of them so that there was a fall. See, that isn't that what it was? It's a molestation, man. That's what happened. We think these spirits that we deal with here are all new. Let me tell you, God's known them from the beginning. That's why we have to be able to discern spirits. Not everybody can discern spirits. I'm going to tell you what they do. They discern a person's action here in this physical realm and think they're discerning a spirit. Uh-uh. You have to know what's behind everything. Okay? I was telling somebody about the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, where it talks about the enchantress and the necromancer and all those things. And we look at those terms, we say, yeah, what's God talking about? But he's talking about people that mess with dead things. And when they mess with dead things, we think it's like Dies de los Muertos here, you know? It has nothing to do with that. What it is that you keep fornicating in your mind with things that are dead in the sight of God. Things that are in death, things that are in hell, things that are in the pit, in the grave, and you fornicate with those thoughts that are there. In other words, you fornicate with the things that are in the base part of your world and not the things that are able to find the things of God in your world. My wife and I were talking this morning. Believe it or not, we do talk this way. And we talked about how Adam, you know, the things that happened in Adam and how he became what he became. And we all die in Adam, don't we? Because of that sin, right? Now, people get it wrong. They think because Adam sinned, he just passed the sin on to you and that was it. No, what really happened was Adam is in you. You are Adam. And what God has shown you is an example of what you do in your world when you're left to yourself without any direction from God, without any leading of the Spirit, without any light. You are in darkness, are you not? You're in grave, hell, the pit. You don't realize you are. You think that this is normal for you, what you go through here. You think it's normal, so you deal with it. I'll just deal with it. I know a man that tells me all the time, he runs into more trouble than any one person I've ever seen in this world, but he said, oh, it'll be okay. I'll be fine. I'm going to keep on doing this and doing that. And never realizing he's in a curse. Never realizing he's repeating the system of sin in his world over and over and over again. He never realizes it. He thinks it's just life. But he is reaping what he has sown. And we see it. So, can you see it even here? Yes, you can. I see it in other places besides here. But he's reaping that. So we're going back to death again. There's a death that we have to do in ourselves, dying to self in order to follow Christ. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me, right? You have to die. There's an old man in us whether you're male or female, doesn't make any difference. There's an old man in you, and that old man has to be crucified. And it says the only way to crucify him is for you to allow the crucifixion of Christ. He's going to be crucified with him too, huh? And then you can walk in the newness of life, okay? But there's something I thought about, that scripture we talked about from Galatians not too long ago. Is it Galatians 2:20? Yes. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. People take that. They think they mean I'm crucified with Christ because I believe in Jesus Christ and I'm living here in this physical world right now. That's the reason I'm living, because I am crucified with him. I believe in him and whatever. And they're talking about right here. Let me tell you, it has nothing to do with here. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So did he just pull himself out of that? Yet not I? Think about what he's saying. There's a partaking here. I'm going to use the word, we're partaking of a couple of things at once. It's two things. Some people say a dichotomy, right? So there's two things we're experiencing at the same time, right? The thing you're experiencing is that I am crucified with Christ, and you are, right? So you can be raised to walk in the newness of life. But that old man is being crucified at the same time, isn't he? You see where I'm going with this? There are two parts. We're partaking of several parts of us in this crucifixion. So there's an old man that's being crucified, and then there's the new man. We're recognizing the crucifixion of Christ, and we say, I want to be buried with him. I want to die with him. And to be buried with him is to be what? That's the baptism. People in this world think baptism is taking you out, putting you in some water, dunking you, and bringing you back up. Scripture doesn't bear that out. What it says, that you're going to be baptized by the washing of water by the word. The word of God is what baptizes you. Does it make more sense? We've said this before. I got baptized in water. And for a couple of days, I lived pretty nice. You know? And then things started coming back. I said, wait a minute. I thought that baptism was supposed to take care of that. I thought it was supposed to be a spiritual act, and the water is going to cleanse me, and I don't have to worry about nothing anymore. Sin is done away with. I don't think the same way. I don't do. And then you find out, wait a minute, I'm turning it. I'm going right back to what I was before. Because for a couple of days, I'm going to tell you what it was. It was adrenaline. It was adrenaline for a couple of days. You know, I just want to do everything right now. I made up my mind I'm going to get baptized and my whole life is going to change, whatever. And you thought it was going to be this magical osmosis that was just going to drift down on you, and it's going to make you do right and change you. You found out real quick that didn't work, huh? You still have to have a guidance in you for your thought. Isn't that true? Now, here we go again. Two. Is there two guides? Oh, yes. Are there two guides? One saying, come over here, be with me, I'll guide you. Another one saying, come over here, I'll give you everlasting life. And you're up there trying to make a decision. Isn't that true? Oh, there's two guides. Scripture tells us very expressly, you got to find out which father you belong to. Isn't that true? Doesn't the scripture say this? You are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. And you'll kill and you'll murder and you'll destroy and you'll lie. Doesn't it say that his language is lying? That's his language. His whole language is lying. And then there's the one that says, well, wait a minute, there's another father, huh? Who's that one? The Lord. So here we go. We're partaking of things in twos. Are we not? Like I said, I was talking with my wife. We were talking about doing things in part. There's certain things that God will reveal to you. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part is what? Is done away with. Oh, there's a completion to this thing, guys. God is going to bring a completion to it. You will understand the things God wants you to understand. Isn't that true? Now, it's very powerful to understand this. I am crucified with Christ, and you want that. You want that. Nevertheless, I live. And you know why you're living? Because he took the crucifixion for your sin. You're still living. Are you not? Sin has been done away with in Christ. But is it done away with in you? You got to partake of that crucifixion, don't you? I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Now look at what the rest of it says. This is very powerful. And my phone just went off to Neverland. I don't know where that came from. Okay. So I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now this is what people don't understand. How many times have you heard somebody say, oh, Jesus, come into my heart and change me and come into me. Oh, just take your place, whatever. And religion has taught people this for so long that they believe that's how it happens. What if I was to tell you Jesus is in every one of you from the beginning? You don't have to ask him to come from one place to another. He's already there. So then why don't you know him? Because you have him covered in darkness. You have him buried in a deep place. You have him hidden to where he can't speak with you. You are without understanding. You are walking in darkness. If the blind lead the blind, let them all fall in the ditch. Hey, we think that's people lined up in a row and somebody walking in a ditch. No, if the blind lead the blind, if that blind thought leads other blind thoughts, they all go to hell. They all go to the grave and the pit because that's all they know. They recycle themselves in this ugly thought with this ugly thought, this sinful thought with this sinful thought. And it keeps going over and over again, and it recycles to where it causes you to be in a hell. And you don't have peace. You're not happy. But this is what that hell does. And you know what? God's trying to teach you something. He's trying to teach you this. Are you tired of hell yet? Are you tired of it yet? That's the key, huh? You think he's smart enough to let you experience it so that you can say you don't want it? I think he's smart enough to do that. I think he's letting you know the torment. He's letting you know that you can't rest upon your bed at night. He's letting you know you feel unsettled in your heart. He's letting you know that you're tormented. He's letting you know that you have the can't help it. You always yield to every weak and sinful thing that's in you. And after a while, you start getting tired of it. At least I know I did. You get tired of it. And you say, there has to be a way out. And religion says, yeah, just believe on Jesus, have him come in your heart, get baptized in some natural water, and everything's going to be fine. How many times have you heard the lie, come to Jesus and everything will be all right? And then people go back out there and they go into a hell again. They say, wait a minute, you promised me if I came to Jesus, everything would be all right. Somebody didn't die. Am I right? Somebody did not die. They went into a belief system, religion, and just got this thing in their head that if I do this and this, like this person told me, everything's going to be all right. Has it worked for you? That's my question. Has it worked? I already know the answer, but I'm waiting to see if someone's going to lie. Oh, yeah, it's been perfect my whole life. Everything's been fine. I never had any problems. I went, yeah, right. You're a liar. It hasn't worked. It has not worked. You know why? There hasn't been a death. Isn't that true? Very true. There has not been a death. You think God is in charge of these deaths? Most assuredly. Most assuredly. This is the key. So, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, when he was 12 years old, he went to Jerusalem with his parents, right? How many of you think of natural now? Mother, daddy, walking along the land, going to Jerusalem with his parents, going into the temple. You still thinking natural? What if I told you it's a spiritual thing? Let's get your mind right. Religion keeps preaching lies to you and you don't understand. But was he confounding the doctors of the law and the scribes and the Pharisees and whatever at 12 years old? Was he confounding them? Then it said he went home with his parents and was subject to them until he was 30, right? But that he had to grow in wisdom and stature. Didn't it say that? What if I was to tell you that that's the Son in you where all that happened, and you're the temple, and he's dealing with your religious thought, which is what he did. Ah. And he was trying to show you the right way, even as a young man, young in you, young in understanding. He's trying to show you, isn't he? He's trying to talk to you in such a way that he can start guiding you. You see how this works? And then you grow that Son in you, that Christ that's already in you. He's been made known to you, and he starts to grow in you in wisdom and stature. How do we know that's true? Ephesians chapter 4, isn't it? Doesn't it say that until we all come to the unity of that, to that stature, that full stature of Christ, is there a growth of the Son of God in you until you come to full stature, full understanding? Yes, it is. That's why it says that. Religion preaches a nice little fairy tale about him going to a natural Jerusalem and sitting in a natural temple. Had nothing to do with that. Nothing. He was in your temple. What is the temple? Are ye not the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're the temple, guys. And the thoughts he's dealing with is all those religious lies you've been taught all your life. Isn't that true? Didn't you come up under a bunch of them? Religious lies? Yeah. Terry, did you come up under a bunch of them? Most assuredly, huh? Wow. Jacob? A bunch, huh? Seth? Sean, you come up under a bunch of lies? Quite a bit, didn't we? Lie after lie after lie after lie. Has to be a death to that. It has to stop. So, this is the stature it's talking about. Nevertheless, I live. And the life which I now live in the flesh. And by the way, when we talk about flesh, we're not talking about this. People say that, don't they? This is my flesh. Your flesh is your terrestrial realm, how you think in your world. You know what they say the flesh is? It's the carnal mind, isn't it? That's what the flesh, how could the carnal mind be your natural flesh here? Did you ever stop to think about that? Religion teaches you it is, though. Ah, it's your mind. It's the carnal mind. That is your flesh. Don't you have to deal with your thoughts every day? Doesn't the scripture say the flesh is weak? You've been in weakness your whole time and didn't realize you were weak. You need strength. Because the flesh, how you think in your world, in your mind, because that's what it is, it's a terrestrial realm here, isn't it? It's a world inside of you. You don't know how to control it. In fact, it controls you. And so you move according to everything that old rotten world says. If it says to go here, you go here. If it says to do this, you do this. You live that way. What do you think he came to crucify? That. That world is the old man that he's talking about. Wow. That's what he wants to crucify and loose you. But at the same time, remember I said it's a dichotomy. He wants you to die with him in that crucifixion and be raised in the newness of life. So are two things being done. Oh, yeah, you're getting rid of the old man and you're raised in the newness of life with who? With Christ. That's what I'm talking about. It's a dual operation. And it has to be done by the Spirit. It cannot be done by you thinking you're going to learn it here through religion. It just doesn't work. So does there have to be a spiritual change in you? So something has to die. Isn't it? Something has to die. Either you're going to allow that thing to die that takes you the wrong way and then come into the newness of life by being buried with Christ. Or you're going to keep suffering the reaping of those seeds that were sown. You will, won't you? You'll continue reaping them. Will you be comfortable? No, you will not. you'll be very uncomfortable because you'll keep reaping this cycle. What do? You go in a cycle, don't you? You're cycling all the time in the same old crap always. You're just cycling. And you wonder why you can't change anything. Nothing's died yet. So here we go. This is powerful. This is Paul talking, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, that I now live in my world, okay? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that crucifixion that talks at first, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. He gave himself for you right then, didn't he? So that you could walk in the newness of life. That's what we don't understand. But at the same time, the power of that, if you believe, will get rid of that old man, won't it? Because it says the old man is crucified with Christ also, doesn't it? Another scripture. Now, let me take you to something else. This is very cool. But it says he loved me and gave his life for me. Did God love us first? Oh, before we ever loved him, he was already showing his love toward us. Wasn't that true? But look at this. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. This is powerful here. I think it's like 13 or so. I'll start at 12. Listen to this. Listen to this. This is cool. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. So that's a choir standing up there, singing their hearts out, saying the Holy Ghost is moving because they're getting excited. Adrenaline running again, and that's what you're going to declare to your brethren because that's the praise you know, right? You think that's it? Has nothing to do with it. You know what the praise is? You know what the song is that God talks about? You know about the psalms and the hymns? We think it's music and song here. Guess what God's doing? He's admonishing you through that praise of him when you understand who he is so that you can learn the things of God. And it's going to be an understanding because that's what the praise really means. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. It's the understanding of God. No, it's the choir. Ooh. And we're going to get everybody excited. We're going to get all the music going. And that's it. That's the praise to God. Praise means the understanding you give back to God. And God admonishes you in that, in the songs and the hymns. Think about this. When David wrote the Psalms, was he giving praise to God? So why does it call it a song? David's song unto the Lord. Are we getting it? It was his song unto the Lord, wasn't it? When Saul had an evil spirit on him, what would David do? Play the harp, the string instrument, right? So what does that really mean? He gave him understanding of the spirit that was dealing with him at the time. Wow. No, he was banging an instrument. He was doing a guitar. He was doing that. That's what he was doing. Really? You think that's what's going to drive the evil spirit away? We're talking spiritual in your world. I told somebody this not too long ago. I've told you guys this a lot of times. We keep thinking that we're going to overcome something in this physical realm that's spiritual. We do it all the time. We think, I'm going to overcome the devil here. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to change this. I'm going to do this. That's what we say, right? Do you realize that's your work? That's the work you do. And what does God say about your work? It's dead. They're dead works. When you try to do it, it's dead. I'll tell you where it's at. It's Hebrews chapter 6. Start reading the first 4 or 5 verses. Those works that you do are dead works. You know why? Because you don't have life of God in it. Now, here's the thing. If you could, in this physical realm, grab the devil and kill him and get rid of him so he wouldn't bother anybody again, would you do it? If you could, if you had the power to do that. Right? How many of you ever done that? Can you go grab the devil right now and get rid of him and stop him from doing what he's doing? How many of you can do that? Because if you can, man, I want to know you. I want to get close to you. Because there's only one person that can do that. You can't do it as a physical human being. You're physical trying to struggle with something spiritual. That doesn't make sense, does it? So is it going to take something spiritual to overcome something spiritual? Yes, it does. That's just common sense, isn't it? I tell you where you can find that out. Go to John chapter 3. Those things that are of the Spirit, God's telling Nicodemus this, huh? He's telling, that's the only way you're going to get rid of. Man's spirit has to deal with spirit. You can't do that in this physical body. So are spirits tearing you a new one because you don't have the power to overcome them? Are they? How many of you know they've been tearing you a new one for a long time, haven't they? Are you tired of that? It takes a spirit to overcome a spirit. And what spirit are we talking about, Jacob? The spirit of what to overcome that? Spirit of Christ. Holy Ghost is the only thing that's going to ever help you. And it can't be no phony, spiritual, false spiritual, religious Holy Ghost. It's not that. It has to be the real deal. It can't be the phony. The phony keeps you in your world still doing the same thing over and over. That's phony. The real deal, the devils believe there's one God and they what? They tremble because they know God is the one. And when the real deal steps on the scene, you know there's a lot of trembling going on? That's right, in you. And you know what it is? This says be earthquakes in diverse places, didn't it? In you. There's going to be a shaking in you. And God's going to shake these things up. What you've been believing and thinking all this time, he's going to shake it up. He's going to take your foundation and knock it out from under you. We are built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus Christ being what? The chief cornerstone. Everything they've said to you was to build a foundation. You get built on that, you're going to do fine. But what if you build your house on the sand? And let me tell you, most of you have built your houses on sand until we understood, didn't we? When we understand, what does God start to do? We start constructing a house on the rock. And really, it's not us, it's God in us that's constructing the house on the rock. And the rock is Christ, so we're built upon a sure foundation and not one that's shifting like sand all the time. So look at this. So Hebrews says, this is very powerful. That thing came up on my phone again. Okay, here we go. I'm going to start at 11 now. I did 9 before. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Is Jesus your brother? What made him your brother? That crucifixion, that death that you partook of, that made him your brother. Were you brothers from the beginning? Way before there was a fall of Adam and whatever? Do you realize that when we believed those lies and fell from heaven, that God was already making a way to restore us to come back? Did he do that by Jesus Christ? We're brothers, man. We knew each other before. All you're getting when you get an understanding here, you're getting a remembrance of the conversation you had with him from the beginning. That's what God is doing. That's why you have to have the ear to hear, because then it's going to be the conversation he had with you before. And you're going to get some understanding, huh? Wow. Very powerful. Realize who you are. Do you need to know you're a son? Do you need to know that you have to grow in wisdom and stature just like the example of Jesus was? Does that grow in here? It grows in wisdom and stature and understanding in here. And as that son grows in you, do you become more of a son? Do you eventually become the son of God yourself? Wow. Because that's what he's trying to bring you up to. Wait a minute. Didn't he say you're brethren? You're brothers. You're the same thing. Are you not? Isn't he try to bring you to that place where you are the same thing? You will be the Christ in your world. Wow. Is that powerful or what? You're going to be a son of God. Doesn't it say that in the third chapter of 1 John? Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we're going to be like him. And we will see him as he is. So it tells you you're going to be like him. Doesn't it say in another place, beloved, we are, now are we the sons of God? It actually says it. Now are we, wait a minute. No, that's in the future, way off. And no, you're a son of God now. You just don't know it. You have to allow God to bring you to that place where you become what he said you were from the beginning. This is what God's trying to do. Remember when the angel came to John in the book of Revelation and John saw him and said, oh my God, and started to bow before him? What did the angel tell him? Don't do that. We're brothers, man. Don't do it. We're brothers. We were brothers from the beginning. Why would one brother bow to the other? We both bow to God. Worship God, man. Wow. Is that powerful or what? Do you realize who you are? Do you? See, you got a bunch of people walking around thinking, well, I'm just a dirty little, I'm just this, I'm just that. What if I told you you're a son of God if you can come to the understanding of it? This is what this is saying. Now listen to what this says next. For he, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. We're talking about Christ here, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Remember what I said about the choirs and stuff? The people think it's that. When he sings praise, he's bringing understanding in the midst of the church. That's what he's doing. Wow. And again, I will put my trust in him. Wait a minute. So you can't trust in self, huh? What's happened to every one of you where you trusted in yourself? Did things work out good when you trusted your own way of doing things? Oh, really? They worked out just great, didn't they, Gail? Worked out great? They didn't? When you trust yourself? I tell you what, without God, you can't trust yourself. You'll do every foul thing under the sun without God. Isn't that true? But listen to this. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children with God has given me. Whew. Now here comes the kicker. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took Jacob, part of the same. Because he was without sin, right? But did he take on the flesh? Sure did. And we can never say to Jesus, well, you don't know what it's like to be in this body and to be tempted and to have all these things happen to you and all this stuff. And he's going to say, shut up. Because I was in the flesh too. I was tempted in all points like as you were and yet without sin. I had to do that so you would never have an excuse. Whew. No excuse. Jesus said, I've been in the flesh. I know what it's like. Aha. So you can never point that finger and say, Lord, you don't know how hard it is. No, God's going to laugh at you. Because see, you haven't been tempted the way he was tempted. He was tempted with everything and yet without sin. He was showing you it could be done. He was showing you it could be done. You're his brother. He said, I'll help my brother. We can do this. I will be your help so you can overcome. And this won't have to happen to you. Isn't that what he's telling you? Does he love you enough to tell you that? For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, wait a minute, you mean death is a positive thing for us? Oh, yes. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Okay, here comes the question. Here comes the question. How did the devil have the power of death? How did he? You gave it to him. How? Talk to me. Did you believe your own thought in your world? What else, Ernest? Is there a spiritual connotation going on here? You became one with it in thought, our thoughts and words, spirit. Was there a spirit from the beginning that fell to the earth because he was condemned there that wants to do nothing but get in you and do what? Perform its own will. Isn't that true? Revelation tells us how it happened. Seven-headed dragon, doesn't it? Talked about his tail drawing a third of the angels from heaven, casting them to the earth. But then Michael stood up and did what, Ernest? Cast him out. You rotten devil, you're not staying here either. And God's already made a plan to get his angels that fell back. Now, where does that leave you? In death and hell. That's his portion. We think death and hell is for us. Death and hell was created for Satan and his angels, it says. Not for us. But do we go there if we don't listen? Uh-huh. But it wasn't created for you. You're not appointed to wrath. God said so. But what if you send yourself there? That's a different story, huh? I didn't do my thing today, huh? Lifting up. Come on. Lifting up what? Without what? Wrath and doubting. No wrath and doubting. You know what? The wrath is, you believe the wrath of God is for you. It's not for you. You're a son. And you doubt, am I saved or am I not saved? Or am I doing right? When the doubts come, you're jumping back and forth. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Have we ever seen that here? Have you ever seen people unstable here? Woo! And you look at them and you say, oh my God, I don't want to be that. And they're jumping from here in thought and there in thought, here in thought, here in thought. They don't know what they're doing. They're confused and confounded. Isn't that true? Why do I do what I do? And then they go ahead and do it. Isn't that true? I don't understand what I'm doing. I'm walking in the darkness, but I'm just going to keep walking anyway. Come on. I'm walking into hell, and I'm going to keep walking anyway. Because you don't know any better. You're acting like a child. Isn't that true? You're double-minded. You don't know which way to go. Isn't it time to stop the confusion? Stop the confoundment and choose Jesus and be real about this thing. Isn't that true? This is what it says here. Listen to what it says. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Do you know that Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil? That was his manifestation. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And the only way to do that is to kill the thing that brings you death. Destroy it. And I'm the only one that can do it. Spirit overcoming spirit. Isn't that right? He's going to do it. But he did it through the power of death. See, this is what Satan is so stupid. I'm going to say this. They're crucifying. Yeah, I won the victory. I got them to kill him. Jesus said, hey, dude, once they kill me, you're done. Because you know what happens? I rise again. And I overcome you. So you're rejoicing about something that I allowed to happen so that I can win your world and you and get you out of the clutches of the devil. Whew. He rejoiced for a little while. Then he realized, oh, my God. Didn't it say in the scriptures, if the princes of this world had known who they were crucifying and why they were doing it, they wouldn't have crucified him. Didn't Jesus say, for this purpose came I into the world, to be crucified? Because by that, we win the victory. Wow. Yes, everything started to change then. We got victory now. We know who wins, don't we? Oh, yeah, we know who wins. There's no guesswork about who wins. God wins. How can the devil overcome a God that's over all things? Whew. Then he couldn't have been God, huh? God said, I have all power. I'm the creator of all things. How is the devil going to overcome him? He sees the devil. Dude. We already know your works. Doesn't the devil come like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? Hey, what if I was to tell you that he's got you deceived real good into thinking he's a powerful lion with teeth and claws? He's not. He's toothless. He's weak. But he can put that bravado up and scare you. That's why he comes. And notice it says, as a lion. It's a bravado. It's a deception to get you scared so that you'll stay with him. Does that make sense? As a roaring lion. Seeking whom he may devour. Wow. And he devours the ones that get deceived by him. They say, oh. And he just, whoosh, there we go. Now you're in the clutches. Because you didn't know any better. You didn't allow God to lead and teach you. That's the key, huh? Okay, now. Oh, remember that dichotomy I was talking about again? So the devil comes as a roaring lion, right? Who's the lion of the tribe of Judah, though? Ah, there we go. Two lions again, huh? Which one you want to be under? Oh, man, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Whew. The devil always tries to copy, don't they? Devils do. Remember it says about that one that was riding that pale horse in Revelation? He's riding a pale horse. What does Jesus come on? A white horse. The one on the pale horse is death. Oh, what are we talking about? Death. That's the one you don't want to listen to. But the one on the white horse, and on his thigh is written what? They see that while he's on the horse. What's written on it? The word of God. Oh, this is Jesus on a white horse. See, all the devil can do is just copy. And he can't even copy good. You get it? Whew. Does that make sense, Ernest? You got something? They don't know no better. And the unbeliever really swallows it, doesn't it, huh? If you don't believe God, oh, you'll swallow. Oh, that's Jesus on that horse. No, man, that's death. Death is coming for you, and you don't even realize it. He tries to copy Jesus being on the white horse, but he's on the pale one. And it says, on that is death. Yeah, is that going to be good for you? No, it will not. He's coming after you. This is powerful, guys. About you got to know which death you need to experience, and you got to know which death you need to put away from you. Isn't that true? You have to know. And the death that Christ brings and the things when you deny self and start doing the things that God wants you to do, that will bring you everlasting life. So you go from death to life. The other one takes you from death to hell, the pit, the grave. See, all of that. It's so simple when you think about it, huh? There's always going to be the two. There's always going to be the good and the evil. Which one are you going to listen to? You better be listening this morning. Very powerful. Here comes the last part. Remember, said through fear of death. I'm going to read that again. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And listen to this. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Did you ever realize how much bondage you were in? Didn't you fear death? And they used to say it this way. I don't want to die and go to hell. Isn't that what it used to be? And your fear was there constantly, wasn't it? Oh, sometimes you go along good for a while, have party, have fun here, whatever you want to do. Then all of a sudden that thought comes back again, doesn't it? I don't want to die and go to hell. Isn't that true? All their lifetime subject to the fear of it, Ernest. You know how God got rid of the fear? For those that believe? Perfect love casts out all what? Whose love? It's God. You come to a relationship, a real one, not the phony one, with God, and you allow his love that he has for you and your love that you have for him in return to overcome the death that you're so scared of. that everlasting punishment that you are so scared of. You don't have to go there. You don't have to partake of that. God is giving you word right now that'll help you overcome that. Oh, can you get it all at once? No, you have to be, where did I put it? Oh, you have to be taught. You have to keep coming and understanding these things. We'll talk to you about them. You know why? That's my job. That's what I've been given to do. I was ordained to do this. Were you? We're ordained to do it. Do you think you're going to ever shake me from believing I'm not ordained to do what God sent me to do? There's no way. None of you are strong enough or big enough. I'm telling you, God is the one that gave me my job. So what I'm doing, I want to do it to the extent my fullest, Patty. I don't want to be shucking and jiving with God. I want to do the real deal. And the real deal is what brings you peace and happiness. But we think happy is whatever I want, all my needs being met, my lusts taken care of, and then I'm happy. No. Here's what happiness is. Happy is the man whom the Lord correcteth. When he can correct your thought, you're happy. Believe it or not, Julian, if he can correct your thought, you're happy. Everybody looking for happiness? I don't like the way my life is. I don't like, you look for happiness? Let God correct your thought. That's good. Happy is the man that condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth. So what? How does that work, Ernest? In other words, you're being led by God in what you allow in your life. There you go. Then you're happy. Very important. You want to be happy? What does that man sing that song, Happy? Happy? You want to be happy? Do you? Do what God tells you to do. You'll be happy. That's how it works. Things we don't like, things we don't like that bother us and whatever, if we can put them before God and allow God to lead and guide us in those things, then we will overcome. But here's our problem. We're impatient. We want it to happen like, how, Ernest? Take it all away, God, right now. Hey, what if I'm going to tell you? It's just about ready to end. God will never take away temptation, ever. Scripture never tells you that. In fact, it tells you the opposite, doesn't it? He will never take temptation away. Never. Get that in your mind. Whew. That's powerful, huh? But what does it say? Let's read that. We'll end it with this. It says to endure it. He's not going to take it away. James chapter 1, isn't it? People, religion has lied so much to us that you need to get to the point to stop listening to them lies. Scripture tells you the truth. This is James chapter 1. Now look at this. My brethren, this is verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2 of James. Now listen to this. My brethren, oh, here's the brothers again, right? We're brothers, right? Here we go. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to count that as joy when I'm being tempted up the yin-yang, man? Am I supposed to count that as joy? Yes, you do. Why? Fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wow. So, I'm going to say this, and we're going to end it. So, does temptation give you the opportunity to become stronger? So, why is God ever going to remove it? He won't. He said, count it as all joy, because he knows the more you overcome and endure that, the stronger you become in him. Wow. God, just take it away. Just take it away. Don't we say that? I don't even want to have to face it. Just take it away. Take it away. That's not realistic. That's not life. It's going to come, but you have to endure it. And then you become stronger in Christ. Think God's smart about how he does things? He's very smart. He knows exactly how to do it. That makes sense to everybody? Still talking about death. Hope you got something out of what we said today. That is death.